Good day and welcome to Health Reform and the Court. I'm Jackie Judd. The third and final day of arguments at the Supreme Court on the health care reform law is over. Today, the justices consider two very different questions. If the individual mandate is struck down, can the rest or part of the law remain intact? And second, did Congress overstep its authority by expanding the Medicaid program? Once again, legal contributor Stuart Taylor joins us. Welcome back, Stuart.
Nice to be here again.
Before we started taping, you said at the end of these 3 days, 6 hours of arguments, the opposing lawyers did something slightly unusual by stepping back from the minutiae, as you called it, to talk in grander terms about what this was really all about.
Right, and that was Solicitor General Don Verrilli at the end of his argument about why Medicaid expansion should be sustained, which was the last of arguments. So coming to the end of the 6 hours, said, let me step back, take a half a step back. And he gave an impassioned plea for saving this law on grounds of liberty. He invoked the term liberty. And by the way, liberty is Justice Kennedy's kind of leitmotif.
Swing vote.
Yeah, swing vote. Central theme, not an accident. And he said, this law would secure the blessings of liberty to millions of people who are now uninsured, people with diabetes, people with heart conditions who are now unable to live normal lives. It would secure the blessings of liberty to them. And he said, you know, please think about that while you're deciding what to do with this work of the President and Congress, and give some respect to them, too.
And Paul Clement's response?
Paul Clement came back and, after making a couple of more minute points, closed with a respectful reference to what Verrilli had said. And he said, it's a strange conception of liberty that would force millions of people to buy insurance policies that they don't want. And so there you sort of had it at the, you know, Verrilli arguing at a very general level. Clement going right to the central objection.
And let's get specific for a moment. This morning, they did argue about if the mandate is struck down, can the rest of the law, or most of it, stay intact? What were the highlights of that hour, hour and a half?
Yeah, it's hard to pick a highlight because there were three lawyers arguing three different positions, and there were eight justices saying everything under the sun. But the general tenor of it was, Clement, who I just mentioned, the lawyer for the states challenging this, said, in essence, you should strike the whole law down, all 2,700 pages. Just give Congress a clean slate so they can start over and decide what they want to do now. And his point was, a lot of these provisions are interdependent. Some of them, obviously, as the Solicitor General said, and I'll get to that in a minute, some of them are so closely related that it doesn't make sense to keep some while getting rid of the individual mandate, which would provide the money for them. Others are, you know, a little more tangentially related, but still related, and others are way off in left field, and, you know, they were just sort of stuck in there because this was a vehicle. So that's Clement. Deputy Solicitor General Ed Kneedler, the only part of the argument that that wasn't done by Don Verrilli, his boss, said, first, you shouldn't reach severability at all in this case. You know, leave that to future cases, except for one little provision where the states had raised it. If you're going to reach severability, and by the way, the justices didn't seem to buy the first part of that, so I think they are, you should uphold most of the law. Your purpose should be to salvage as much of Congress's handiwork as possible. There are two provisions that you should strike down, not because they're unconstitutional, these are the heart of the act, but they don't work without the mandate, because these are the so-called guaranteed issue and community rating provisions that basically say insurance companies cannot hold your medical history against you when they're setting rates or deciding whether to take you. And he said that doesn't work without the mandate, because if people know they can sign up at the last minute once they get sick for insurance, all healthy people will bail out. They won't get insurance. We have to force them to get insurance to prevent the insurance industry from basically going down the drain while people leave these positions.
One of the issues that has received less attention than the other ones we've been talking about the past three days is this expansion of Medicaid, even though it will affect many millions of people. What was the core of the argument there?
Yeah, and that was the last hour. And Clement went first because he's challenging. Mm-hmm. And he said, using past case law, The problem with the Medicaid expansion is that it coerces the states to participate. It effectively leaves them with no choice.
How did the liberal bloc challenge that?
They said, and Justice Breyer was particularly active here, they said, in essence, oh, the law doesn't really mean that. It may say that, but that's just what Medicaid expansions have said in the past. In reality, the government would be reasonable, the courts would require them to be reasonable under the Administrative Procedure Act, and you're not going to see some arbitrary ripping away of all of a state's Medicaid money just before it, because it refuses to go along with this expansion. You know, the liberals and the Solicitor General, Deputy Ed Kneedler, they said, look, the reason the states are all going to go along with it is that it's a good deal. It's not that they're being coerced to.
Because the federal government, particularly in the earlier years, will be picking up 100% of the additional cost.
100% in the earlier years, then 95% for a couple of years, and then 90% supposedly indefinitely, although the states might worry that that could change.
One final question that has to do with the timing of a ruling. When do you expect it?
Late June, probably very late June, conceivably early July, but they almost always finish in late June. And they almost always serve up the biggest, boldest, most difficult cases last, particularly when they're argued late in the term.
And drop it right into the middle of a presidential campaign.
Exactly.
Great having you here this week. Thank
you,
Stuart.
Nice being here. Thank you.
And a reminder to you to tune in to our 30-minute live webcast tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. KHN's Mary Agnes Carey will lead a panel discussion about this historic week. Joining her will be Stuart Taylor, Tom Goldstein of SCOTUS Blog, and Julie Rovner of NPR. The panel will also answer your questions, which you can send to live@kaiserhealthnews.org. I'm Jackie Judd.